I first became a cub, a wolf cubber they called it at the time, around about 1947-48. I was in that for 2 or 3 years, and then I went up and became a scout in 1951. And I was in that until about 1956-57. Well, the scouts I remember more because it's more recent. There was, I think we had groups of patrols, as they call it. I don't know whether they still call it that. And each one had about six, and there was about six patrols, so about 36 members. I think it was quite popular, particularly in those days when there was far less other activities that there are now. People went out, were much more active in the environment outside rather than sitting on computers as they do now, a lot of them anyway. Basically, we would meet once a week. I was a member of the first Welland Garden City. There were two groups in Welland Garden City, I remember, which was the first and the fourth. And I was a member of the first, but a very good friend of mine was a member of the fourth. Anyway, we met at the Scout Hut in Cold Green Lane in Welland Garden City. Right, well, we would have all sorts of things like learning how to tie knots, learning going out camping, learning to look after yourself, basically fend for yourself. We were taught to cook, basically cooking. We were taught about how to exist in the wild and all the rest of it. So because that's obviously the concept of scouting in those days. So it was orientated towards that type of thing. This was my Boy Scout membership card, but it was much the same in the Cubs and the Scouts. It's just obviously you went up at a higher, at a greater age, up into the Scouts, and it was much more adult in a way. But you had things like law and promise. That was learning the promise that you made when you went in, the various salutes, learning about the Union flag, how to dress a wound, woodcraft signs, knots and whipping. It's to do with tying knots and so on. And there were rules of health exercises. There's a whole list of them. We went out and we played what they called wide games, which were we went out and you lived out basically in the woods and looked after yourself and learned all about, I suppose in a way it's orienteering, but it wasn't called that then. So it was all those type of things which were reckoned to sort of stand you in good stead in rounding the character, really. You know, you could learn things like, if you were learning to do things like tying knots and so on, you could these sort of things, they may sound a bit archaic now, but in those days it was quite sensible to have those sort of skills, you know. And you never forget them, really. I can still tie a reef knot, even now, believe it or not. But the reason for those sort of things was that the scout movement, funny enough, a lot of my friends were in the Boys Brigade at that time, and there was always a bit of competition between scouts and the Boys Brigade, as well as between various troops or packs, because the Cubs were called packs and the scouts were called troops. And it's sort of slightly militaristic in a way, and that's because Baden-Powell came from a military background, obviously, and so therefore we did have marching, particularly when the various youth organisations used to have the town parades and so on, so we used to march then. But it wasn't particularly militaristic, a bit shambolic, if you want the honest truth. Well, the way it worked then, you had the Cubs for the young boys. That you normally became a scout around about the age of 11, I think, which is what I did. And then you could, after that, go on at that time to the what they call the senior scouts, which I never did. Very few people went up into what they then called the Rovers, which was much more, you know, people around about 18, 19, so, and they did the things like the Queen's Scout attainments and that type of thing, so gave you a good grounding in creating, building character, really. I do remember that every year they had what they call Bobber Job Week, where you went round and you knocked on people's doors and offered to do a job for a bob or a shilling, or roughly 10p now, I suppose that, isn't it? And it was called Bobber Job Week, and you used to go around, you'd ask somebody to clean a car, although of course in those days there weren't so many cars, or help in the house, or do this, that, and the other. And then you took a little card around with you, which I haven't got a copy of, and they ticked off. And the more you got, the better it was, really. And the money itself was then put into the centralised fund of the Boy Scout movement. And of course, when you imagine it all over the country, people doing this sort of thing, obviously it raised a lot of money, really.
Yeah. Were the public all happy to get involved in that?
Some less so than others.
Okay.
I got a flea in the ear a few times, as my friends did, but most of the time people, I don't know what it was, I think because it was not long after the war, and there was a much more of a sort of community spirit in those days. People were much more trusting and open than they probably are now. Of course, in the Cubs, it was obviously based on the Jungle Book, Rudyard Kipling, and so the woman, it's usually women that ran the Cubs, her title would be called Arkayla, which is after the wolf in the Jungle Book. And then you'd have Bagheera and Baloo, the names of various characters. And the people who ran it, usually two or three adults, took these titles. And the highest thing you could achieve, I think, in the Cubs was what they called a leaping wolf, which was a sort of, you had to do a whole lot of tests and pass them. So I did actually get one of those, believe it or not. And I was, I think I remember now, it was patrol. I was a patrol leader of mine. It was called the Peewit Patrol, and there were various other names, mainly after sort of, well, if you, for instance, if you did something like swimming, and you wanted to excel at swimming, and you go in, they did various tests for swimming, or it might be running, or it might be various types of crafts that are listed down there. Or it might be that you had some particular area that they wanted to bring out of you, so it was a good way of bringing out the other side of the character. You came to school to sort of do the learning, and out this sort of thing gave you another dimension on life, really. We did go to jamborees, which were big camps held. It was a scout jamboree held in Gordonbury Park, just outside St Albans. And there was probably about 1,000 boys there, I suppose, from all over, not just Wellingarden, but probably from Hatfield, St Albans, all the Hertfordshire Scouts. I went to one in St Albans, Gordonbury Park, and I've got a picture I took on an old box brownie of the Chief Scout at the time, who succeeded Baden Powell, and his name is Lord Rowallan. He came in, so I've got pictures of him there, and I've also got the badge, second star. Yes, you have a first star, a second star, a third star. The higher up you got, the better you were doing. So I only got a two there, but I don't know, I did get farther than that. But that's the leaping wolf, by the way, that's the thing I told you about. And then it says hearts there, it's got the Hertfordshire stag, so it's a Hertfordshire pack or troop, and it says Boy Scouts there. This is my belt. I'd have to be hard pushed to get that around my stomach now, but never mind.
It's the BP for Baden Powell.
That's it? Well, yeah, I mean, he was God, wasn't he? Yeah, particularly when you were a small boy, you know. So this chap was a Scottish earl, and called Lord Rowallan, and he was the chief. He took over from, so he's the second chief scout ever. So I think he took over in about 1944 when Baden Powell died. We all carried knives on those days. That's called a sheath knife. You used to wear that on your belt, and it was useful because you'd use it for cutting sticks down in the woods and so on. And that's why I call it a sheath knife, because it was in that sheath. Moralistic sort of rules, in the sense that, you know, you had to honour it was the king at the time. I mean, I'm going back to when it was King George VI. And you did your, you took your vows. I can sort of remember some of them, but to try and teach people breadth of character, really, and self-reliance, I suppose. That's the best way to describe it. Yeah, you took a promise to, we will do our best to do our duty to God and the king, and etc., etc. I can't remember it now, but it was that type of thing, you know. So it was a vow of allegiance, if you like, both to the movement and to the monarch.